Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, November the 7th, 2025, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Do want to remind everybody, the Lee Street Presbyterian Church's annual bazaar, 455 Lee Street here in Marion, will happen Saturday, November 8th, tomorrow. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., lunch served from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., a large selection of baked goods, homemade candies, popcorn balls, decorations, gifts, crafts, and miscellaneous items will be for sale.
Popcorn balls.
Well, I'm not done.
I know, but I like
lunch
popcorn
menu.
Balls.
Shredded chicken sandwiches, hot dogs, chili, vegetable and chicken noodle soup, desserts and beverages. Come and enjoy Lee Street Presbyterian Church's annual bazaar, 455 Lee Street here in Marion, Saturday, tomorrow. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., lunch served from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. You know, maybe we'll do a popcorn ball making bit this Christmas season.
Popcorn balls are good stuff. I know a lot of people who don't like popcorn balls, and I don't know why.
I'm not a big fan of them,
really?
But they're okay.
I don't know. Of all the things, look, I'm not a big Halloween person, but I'll tell you what, I like popcorn balls, and they only come around Halloween.
All right. Now, from one of our listeners here this morning, the food stamp issue is bigger than the impact on recipients. What happens to the stores when they lose this revenue and to the entry-level people working there that could get plunged further into poverty? Ultimately, this will affect farmers and business owners who are also beneficiaries of the influx of revenue into the economy. There are so many studies that show this, and that people on both sides of the aisle oppose cuts for these reasons. I've always said that. I've always said that food stamps are an economy stimulant. You can't put them in your savings account. It's better than a stimulus check for stimulating the economy. And what is it, $600 million a month in Ohio? I mean, can you imagine taking out $600 million a month from your economy that gets spent? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, it's sad, but the biggest thing is that when we have times like this, kids are always the ones that really suffer the most. Because if you got, and whether they're working or not, if they got an alcohol problem, it's more important to them to buy that 24-pack of alcohol than it is to feed their kids. If they have drug problems, whether they're working or not, if they're not working, sometimes it can be worse, but they want to spend the money on the drugs, and then the kids suffer. They buy them a bag of chips and say, here, kids, there's dinner. The kids really suffer the worst in times like this. And that's why, you know, I think the peanut butter truck is great. I wish I had some money to help them out, but when it gets to the end of the month, I really got to be careful I don't overdraw my checking account, so I wouldn't have much way of helping them. Maybe next time I go to the store, a jar of peanut butter, a jar of jelly ain't that expensive. Maybe I could help them out that way. But, you know, it's sad that, you know, the kids are the ones that really suffer a lot.
Well, I don't think people understand the implications. There's one of the reasons that the food card cannot be spent on alcohol, that the food card cannot be spent on drugs, obviously, that it cannot be spent at restaurants, that it is for food in a grocery store. And we get to the point where even we're up in arms, oh my God, somebody bought pop with a food card. Oh my God, somebody bought a bag of chips with a food card. Well, you know what? I hate to tell you, if you go with a lot of these healthy food, it's more expensive, and that food card would be gone quicker. Now, that's a whole another problem for society to deal with, but there is a group out there that feels that everybody who is on the food card is some kind of derelict with no job.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is just not the case. There are disabled people, there are kids, and there are people who make $11 an hour who work who still qualify for it. And I'm not exactly sure where that comes from. Also, senior citizens, by the way, 10%, I think, in Marion on the food card. And it does impact people in the economy. There is not a person in, tell me one job that will not be affected by people having to juggle their checkbooks to buy food. To where's that other money going to come from? They're not going to go to the golf course. They're not going to go to the restaurant. They're not going to go to the fast food place. They're not going to go to the department store as much. Something's going to get cut back, and that's going to hurt workers, and that ultimately is going to hurt people. It's going to hurt people all across the board. You can't take $600 million out of an economy a month and expect in a state and expect that to just balance out.
Yeah, and, you know, people say, well, they got the food card. They can feed their kids. But a lot of parents that are people that don't have their priorities straight, or the alcohol or drug or mental health problems, they sell that food card. I've had opportunities. My brother does it quite a bit, but he, you know, he's called me before and, hey, you want to buy $50 worth of food stamps? You know, they'll give you 25. You give them 25, you can spend 50. So, even though the food card's out there, if they don't have good parents and stuff, the food card gets abused that way, too. So, the kids that are going hungry, waiting for that food truck, more likely are the kids that don't get to eat very often.
I don't think this is a large number. I mean, I can't imagine that that's a large number. Does it happen? I'm sure it does. But is that even 5 or 10% of people on the food card? I don't think that that's the case. I think people see it in their own communities and see it in their own lives, and they think it's a much bigger... How many times do we hear illegal immigrants are on the food card? Well, go out to Community Action and try to sign up without a Social Security number and see how far you get.
How many times you hear they're on Medicaid? You know, the Republicans try to... Is this false? I get so tired, especially the Trump administration, saying blatantly false stuff all the time. You know, they're not getting Medicare, Medicaid. It's illegal. It's maybe, like you say, there's a case once in a blue moon where they illegally, you know, apply for stuff. And, you know,
and by the way, you can turn them in. There is a fraud line.
Yeah.
And by the way, if it's illegal, don't buy the card.
And like Trump's still saying, well, he don't know the legal parameters, even though that federal judge ordered him to do it. He's still balking it. I guess that's just a little bit what I wanted to say. I don't want to go on too much.
I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yep.
Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. At least it shows people are paying attention.
Yeah, that's always good.
I don't know. I think somebody better be paying attention.
Well, you'd think, right?
And I think people have mostly good hearts. I don't think that people are evil people.
For the most part.
No, I think most people, in the end, do the right thing. But some people, I don't know. There's just a different point of view there with some people. So I guess that's the way that all shakes out. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. So what's on your mind?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I was just reading I was reading some summarizations of Human Rights Watch reports. that's what I was up to.
Oh, how was that?
Well, I mean, you know, apparently the Human Rights Watch has been keeping a close eye on the whole Trump deportations. And, I don't know. Apparently there's, one of the places that people get sent to in Costa Rica is, a reworked factory, I guess. There's... Anyways, it was an old factory that they're now using as an immigrant detention center, and apparently there's terrible conditions in there, but, I mean, you know.
Well, there you go. Well, what do you make of the election results? We haven't, you haven't been back in here since Tuesday.
Well, I mean, I think the election went rather well. I mean, for the Democrats, it went rather well. I mean, nationwide, it went rather well for them. But, I mean, locally, I mean, Scott Crider was, 21 votes away from being the top vote-getter, I do believe.
I just think the vote count is something.
Charter City went down. That was news. I don't know if it's big news.
Well, I don't think people were not making big predictions on if it was going to pass or fail. And I wasn't sure, and I wouldn't have been surprised either way. As I've said all week, what surprised me was that it failed by more than 10% in an election with such low turnout.
Well, I don't think they did a very good job of explaining the charter.
I don't think that matters at all. When people want to know about something, they go find the information. And when people are interested in something, you can bet they're going to turn out.
But, even the city council had to have, even their original, thoughts were, I guess, wrong, because they had to have somebody come in and explain to them things, and then, yeah. So, I mean, I think there was a lot of confusion around it.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know that I'd vote in favor of something I didn't understand. So, I mean...
How in the world are you going to... What, are you going to mail something to everybody? I guess I just don't... If you are interested in it, there are 1,000 ways to do homework on it now.
Yeah.
If you really want to find out the answers. And clearly people did not want to do that. It stopped... If the answer was, I don't know anything about this, they didn't go any further.
Well, I mean, it's... I mean, anything can change. I mean, they could go in there and make all the seats at large and have a city manager and go with a straight legislative kind of government. And that,
but that's the point of
this. They could do anything.
Right, but that's...
Within the law.
But that's the understanding of this, is you don't know what's going to happen. Essentially, that's it. That's why I could never understand why any city council would ever vote to do this, because you're giving away all your power.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, unless, I don't know, I mean, yeah. I mean, you don't have a vote on it. I mean, once it's through, it's through.
I mean, people keep saying that the case wasn't made good enough. What could you do? What could be done if you really want to promote this thing and you really want to educate people on it? What could you do?
I mean, they ran like a bit on the candidates, but I don't. Did they ever actually run a bit like?
They ran a bit on the. Yep. When it was voted that it was going to run through, yes, they did an article on it.
But did they explain it?
Well, I'm saying, what are you going to do in an article? What do you want to do? Take out a whole day of the paper and just explain to people what a charter city is?
I don't know
that people read the paper anymore.
I don't know. I'd do something or another. We had Kent on the other night, and they didn't have it on the website or anything. I mean, there was a Facebook group that was in favor of it. That's about it.
Well, why didn't that work?
I mean, I don't know.
People are on social media now.
Didn't get spread around very well.
Is that truly the reason, or people don't care?
Well, I think the majority of people who showed up to vote at the very least, you know, weren't for it.
Right, and that's my point. I don't think people cared. I just don't think there was a whole lot of care in this. People were not rooting out sources of information on this. Nobody cared. It wasn't the headline.
Well, I mean, Yeah. I mean, it was for, I don't know, like a week. And after that, there was nothing really new to it. Just waited. So I don't know that, I don't know. I don't think people really, I mean, obviously they didn't care all that much about it, or they would have, you know, they would have come more to vote. I mean, less than a quarter of the registered voters showed up, so.
Right, so what's the plan? Talk long.
Okay, well.
Give me more than five words.
I mean, what's the plan to do what? Like the
give your election take. You were down at the Board of Elections. How was election night?
Oh, well, I mean, election night was okay. I mean, you know, we went about the same as every other time. I just kind of paced back and forth waiting for results, but I did a lot of pacing that night. So, I mean, I had asked Sydney originally what time the early votes would be, and she said 8 to 8:15, so I was, you know, I was expecting 8 to 8:30 roughly, because, you know, the stuff happens, but she told me that the next round would be absentee, and that, you know, those would take a while, and that it would be a process because there were a lot of write-in candidates, and like I said, I counted it, they had a paper hanging on the wall of everybody running for office, and there were, I do believe, 8 write-in candidates, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, that's a considerable. I mean, they were 3 candidates for the Green Camp Village Council, and all 3 of them were write-ins. So, you know, that's. There's that. But anyway, so I assume, I don't know what all you have to do for write-in candidates, but, I mean, I didn't get the votes until around 10:45-ish, so I don't know what they have to do, but it ended up being a process. I was not lied to. I mean, she told me it was going to be a process.
So what did you make of the idea of Aaron Rollins, who put the Charter City on the ballot, wanted to put it on, saying he would not bring it again, he feels the people have spoke?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably true. I mean, it didn't go down by, like, you know, a couple of votes. I mean, 10% of the voting population of that day. I mean, that's pretty substantial, so.
And that's where I thought it would be. I thought it would be in that neighborhood.
What?
You know, close, one way or another.
Oh, I figured it'd be close. Closer than that, I figured it'd be within, you know, I don't know, 5 points maybe.
That's why I'm saying, see, here's the problem with the whole education theory. Okay, if people were uneducated on it, then you can't say that people voted against it because of who was on the Charter Commission. Because if you looked in enough to see who was on the Charter Commission, then you did some education for yourself. So, it doesn't float. So people voted against it for some reason. Do you think people know all the intricacies of the levies?
I mean, it reads, I mean, you can read the levies.
Well, what does the money for Adam H. go for? What kind of levy was it?
Adam H., is that the addiction?
No, I'm asking you.
What do you mean?
What, you voted on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you know that Adam H. does with their money? And was it a renewal levy? Was it a new levy? How much money was it going to cost?
I think Adam H. was $35 for a $100,000 house. And it's, you know, Marion Area Addiction and Mental Health. I guess I don't know exactly what they do.
So nobody really educates themselves on this thing.
Marion Area Addiction and Mental Health.
Go ahead, caller.
Says it right in the name.
Oh, geez. The Charter. I think, you know, it is an issue of education, of informing the public what a charter can and cannot do. And there are several variables in the equation that made it fail. It could very well be the composition of the commission candidates, some of the usual suspects. It could have been people didn't have enough information to make a better informed decision. And the time restraints to get all of that. So I think the major thing was,
or is, people are afraid of what they don't understand. So you've got a combination of that. Giving the voters enough information to make a better decision, and then providing candidates that they believe in. So I think it could be very well a combination of both of those in the equation of, as to why it failed. And very well, too, you know, one of the usual suspects was the former auditor. And I don't think people are very close to forgiving him for leading us into the financial circumstances we're in now. So perhaps in maybe 3, 4, 5 years, it can be redone and a better approach for that.
Well, as I said, I think you can bring this again in 5 years if you want, because the council that is there now will no longer be there, more than likely, or most of them will no longer be there. I think it's a good possibility that the mayor might not be there. We certainly will have another election. Auditor, the same thing. Treasurer, the same thing. But there's going to have to be a five-year period pass. You can't go right back and slap it on the ballot again next year and hope any other kind of outcome.
No, it's going to have to be at least a good 3 years anyhow. And, you know, the number five just seems to be a reasonable amount of time. So time will tell.
We'll see. Thanks.
To a better tomorrow.
And the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I mean, what do you know about Bill Dichtel? And what did he want? What did he want to do as a city councilman?
Bill Dichtel was appointed.
Yeah, but what did he want to do? What did he want to do if he got a full term on city council?
I don't know.
What's Scott Kreider want to do?
I don't know.
What's Dan Clark want to do?
I don't live in the city.
No, but I'm just saying, you got to know these things.
If I'm going to vote on them, I don't live in the city.
We're talking about them right now.
Yeah, but I'm not voting
on
them.
I'm just saying, most people who vote, we have proven over and over and over again, even in presidential elections, where people have the chance to be most informed, they're not. And that's just always going to be the way it is. So this whole idea that, well, this one issue, this Charter City issue, people were just really uninformed on that, and that's what caused this, that's such baloney. People are uninformed on just about every issue they vote on.
I mean, I don't know. For the most part.
Yeah. So why this one? What? Why some pass and some fail, but this one... This one was all about education. If you could actually go to every voter and explain it to them, they'd all be in on this. This thing would pass with 100%.
Well, because this is important.
Yeah, I'm right.
Now, all the other elections are important too, I guess. But, like, you know, at the end of the day, if you miss one election, then, like, you just vote on the next one.
That's what I'm saying.
But if you missed voting on this one, then, I mean, and it passed, and it passed.
Yeah, but it didn't, and
yes.
That's my point. I think more people turned out. A lot of people turned out. 10% of the voting population turned out in an off-year election that probably no reason to vote and said, we don't want this.
So you think that the quarter of the, well, roughly, it's like 24 and a half. But so you think that the, like, 25% roughly of people that showed up to vote didn't vote, or sorry, showed up to vote against the, well... Showed up because of the city charter.
I think it's very interesting that Scott Kreider, the Democrat, got 1,625 different votes in a year where 24% of the voting population turned out. And that's more than a Democrat has gotten in I don't know how long. And I also think it's very interesting that the number of votes that Scott Kreider got and the number of votes that the charter failed by are less than 100 vote difference. I don't think those things are big coincidences.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's some crossover there.
I'm sure there's a lot of crossover there.
Well, I mean, Ayers, I think, voted yes on it. Or I don't know how he
voted.
One. But he, I know he voted yes to put up the charter. Or put out the vote for the charter. Anyways, I think is the only one who voted no.
Right.
So.
But we're talking about, what, 10 people here? 9 people?
Yep, 9 people.
Right. I'm talking about the people who showed up to vote. I can only look at the numbers that I have.
Yeah.
And I think that is a very staggering number, because usually the Democrats do not bring in that amount of votes. That's 1,625 different people who voted for Scott Grider.
Yeah.
And just a little over 1,700 voted against the charter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
I think there's some crossover.
Yeah. So, I do think they know what they were doing.
I don't know.
They didn't know they were voting for a Democrat?
Oh, well, I think they knew they were voting for a Democrat. I mean, it says right there.
But they just all happened to be willy-nilly voting for the against the charter.
Well, I mean, you could vote for a Republican and be against the charter.
Right, but I'm talking about the correlation between the numbers.
Okay. I mean, it's not like, but again, it's not like, you don't know the separation of the vote count.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I am looking at the vote count, and I'm saying this seems odd to me.
Maybe.
That's all you got. One word.
I just don't know. I just don't see how, I mean, like I said, there's no vote breakdown there. I mean, you can't see how many Democrats voted against it and how many Republicans.
I don't think you would know anyway, because I think most people who voted probably were independent.
Probably.
So again, how does Scott Crider get that many votes? I don't even know if there are that many registered Democrats that showed up that day.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you had to take some independents. I mean, independents are usually what swings the election.
Well, I had to take pretty well all of the independents.
I don't know. I mean,
pretty darn close.
I mean, it depends on how many Democrats showed up to vote.
Well, that number is pretty. I think early voting showed in the city. What was it? It was a very low number, 300 something Democrats. And somehow he got up to 1625.
Oh, people show up to vote on election day.
Apparently, it was all the Democrats showed up to vote on election day.
There weren't that many votes to begin with. I mean,
I'm just saying, how can they all be that close for the at-large seat?
How can they all be that close for the at-large seat?
Yeah.
Well, because the Republicans get three votes, so they split three votes amongst four candidates. So, I mean, that's
three candidates. So you think some of them voted for Scott Crider? Because there were three Republican candidates.
Oh, right, and then the other one was Kent Hollerin. Well, some of them obviously didn't vote for Bill Dichtel. I mean, he got de-seated.
Right. So what have we learned?
Well, some of them, I guess, voted for... Well, I guess the assumption here would be that people voted for Dan Clark. People voted for Aaron Rollins, and then I guess for whatever reason did not like Bill Dichtel as much as, I don't know, the others, and then voted for, they either abstained or voted for Scott Crider.
Well, here's the thing. If you go back to, let's see here, 2021, in which we had about 9,086 people, less people voted in 21, apparently. In any event, less people voted in 21, and if you go back to that race, was that the mayoral year? No, that was the year for the, in any event, the Democrats on city council at large, Mike Thomas got on with 22% of the vote. Scott Crider got 25% of the vote. I think that's a big difference. And also, there seem to be less votes for Republicans, which is kind of interesting. Brett Cornelius got over 27% of the vote with less voters. So what happened there?
Well,
Aaron Rollins had 25% of the vote.
Like I said, I think there's crossover.
Right, but with less people voting, the Republicans got less percentages this time around. with more people voting, excuse me, more people voting, they got less percentages, less high percentages.
Well, I mean, it's like an average, yeah. I mean, that's how averages kind of work.
Right.
Okay.
So you would think with less people voting, they would run it up bigger margins.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
This is more people voting.
Right. But not much.
So smaller margins.
Well, I don't know. Not 21 votes. I mean, last time we're talking about...
Like I said, I mean, there had to be crossover. I mean, you know. I mean, if there were three Republican candidates, and, you know, they didn't vote, I guess, straight Republican, because apparently they were either abstained or something, because he was 200 votes below, he had 1,400 compared to everybody else in 1,600.
It just seems like less people voted when you look at this, because when there were less votes, not many, we went from... just over 9,000 to 9,000, about 400 more votes. Somewhere in that neighborhood. When there were more votes, less people voted. In that race. In 21, 7,577 people voted in the at-large race. In this year, when more...
Like, you mean votes?
Yeah.
So, like...
for different candidates.
So it's really only like 2,000 something, right? Because you vote three times, so...
Right, but more people picked three or whatever they did.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this time it was 6,415. So 100 less. In an election where there were more votes. I'm saying it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think there was crossover there.
No, I just think less people voted in the city.
What?
Because we're talking about county numbers. The county figures into that 9,443. I think more people voted in the county this time. I think less people voted in the city, which again tells
me...
Well,
but weren't we just talking about the at-large race?
Yeah. And then more people voted.
You don't vote for the at-large race in the county.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We're saying the vote count was higher this time around, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but there were more votes in 21.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in a city race.
Okay.
Right. So my point is, I think more people voted in the city of that 9,000 in that race.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess of the total, I'm sure there were more people who voted in the county than the city.
There are people in... Go ahead, caller.
You know, you got me wondering. So I'm on the Board of Elections, the summary report. And council member at large, total votes, 6,415. And that seems to be the largest number that I've seen so far. So I think that might reflect that's how many people voted.
I think that's how many votes were, like, so... but you get a vote three times, so I think it's only, like, actually 2,000 people.
No, it says total votes.
Yeah, total votes, and you get three votes. So 2,000 people.
The point is, I guess, is that I believe less people voted in the city if you would look at the breakdown this time around, because there wasn't much to turn out for in the city, which again goes back to my point.
Yeah, there were no elections, really, besides at large.
Right, but the numbers aren't that. No, but what was there in the county?
Levies.
Okay, which is what it always is.
Well, people like to vote for levies.
Look,
this tax dollars.
Vidya Iyengar, 2,290.
Yeah.
So, if we double that, maybe how close does that come to city council at large?
only about a third of the way. And that's what my point. If you look at Charter City, I think a little over 3,000 people voted for that. That was a city thing. Nobody in the county got to vote for that. So it looks as if about 3,100 people voted in the city of that 9,000. That's a more accurate number. So that tells you that about a third of the people who voted on Tuesday were from the city. And I think back in 21, that number was higher.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find it on this sheet. Where is the charter?
But the point is, again, is that people can believe whatever they want to believe, but Scott Kreider's vote being that close to the vote that Charter City went down, I think is very interesting. And I also think it's very interesting that the top Republican vote-getter in Marion only had 21 more votes than the top Democratic vote-getter in Marion. Find me an election in Marion County history in the last 25 years where that was the case.
Okay, I finally found it. Jeez. It's so down here to the last page, yeah. 3,101 votes for total votes for the charter, and there was like not quite 300 and some difference between yes and no. 1,393 yes, 1,708 no. So that's 55 some percent to 44 some percent. So again, with such low turnout in that 10% is a big number.
Yeah.
So anyways, hey, how's the weather going to be? Are we going to get snow today? Let's change.
Monday. No, hey.
Monday we're going to have snow?
That's what they say.
Wow.
I'll cry.
Gee whiz.
Took a long time this year.
Yeah, I'll have to get my snowshoes out or cross-country skis then, huh?
You might have to. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, well, we're going to go on to another subject. Phone lines are open because there are other things to talk about. Busiest travel day of the year is usually the day before Thanksgiving. That's coming up. The FAA announced that, I believe starting today, it's reducing air traffic at 40 major airports because things are getting dangerous because of the government shutdown. So says people who are working at these places. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Not a good time to be in the air, apparently.
Well, no. I mean, you know, there's no air traffic control people anymore. They were all fired, is my understanding. And now the government's on shutdown, so the ones that are still there, I mean, they're probably not working anymore because they're not getting paid. They don't want to go into work.
Going to the... That's a lot. Reducing traffic at 40 major airports.
Yeah.
and the people are saying it's getting more dangerous every day to fly.
Yeah, because there's less air traffic people.
Not a good thing with the busiest travel day of the year coming up.
That's why you.
Maybe it won't be this year.
That's why you drive. Drive everywhere. Takes forever.
Well, and we are in the longest government shutdown in history.
35
days? Day 38 today.
38. Oh, man, moving right along.
There's never been one that got to 40 days, well, but we're close. Why? Why is this one the longest ever?
Man, I feel like we've been over this.
Well, what's your reasoning?
Because there's no compromise.
But why?
Why is there no compromise?
Well, one reason is probably because one side is not there.
Well, the Senate's there.
Okay, but again,
the Senate can come to an agreement.
But the House could work, come to an agreement as well.
Yeah.
Why aren't they there?
Because Mike Johnson told him to leave.
And why was that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I don't understand how this ends.
Well, I mean, there's either got to be compromise or somebody's got to fold. And compromise is always the easier way to go, but nobody's compromising, so I guess we're waiting for somebody to fold.
Well, this was the conversation last week, and we're only going to have it for 8 minutes here, but what is the compromise? I don't think you understand that there's one issue that this is about.
Yeah.
That's very rare.
I got it.
One issue.
I understand
so
that.
So take every other issue off the table because okay. nobody's interested in that. We're talking about one issue.
Uh-huh.
So what's the compromise?
Funded at 75%.
Okay. Who's offered that?
Nobody.
Okay. So who should do that?
Literally anybody. Don't care. I honestly do not care who makes the offer.
Okay.
Anybody.
So why do you think nobody's made that offer?
I mean, I guess in theory, it would make more sense for the Republicans to make the offer because it'd be like bidding against yourself if you were the Democrats.
I don't understand why there is no compromise. You think they haven't talked? I'm sure they've talked. You think that hasn't been put on the table somewhere?
I don't know. I mean, it hasn't been voted on, I'll tell you that.
Well, the Republicans have the votes. The Democrats cannot open back up the government
yep.
unless they change their votes.
Uh-huh.
So, it wouldn't take much for the Republicans. You know what? 75%. I'll do it at 75%. Let's get this thing back open.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, that'd be a good, that, yep.
Okay, so why isn't that happening?
I don't know, because they don't want to, I guess. The Republicans say no, there is not going to be health care, and the Democrats are saying yes, there's going to be health care, or we're going to fund health care, I guess.
So it never ends.
Somebody's got to, like I said, I mean, there's either got to be a compromise, or somebody's got to fold. And at this point, we're about to hit 40 days of nothing.
Well, somebody's got to have something here. Somebody must know something.
What do you think about the whole theory that this is just to like delay the release of the Epstein files?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't see the point if it is. I mean, what are you going to delay it like 50 days? Oh, congratulations.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a rough holiday season if they don't get it open.
No, it'll be a rough holiday season. I think that, yep.
And I don't think it was going to be all that great a holiday season to begin with.
Well, I mean, probably not.
Things People seem to be under the bus this holiday season.
Well, things are expensive.
What happened? What happened in the last year?
What do you mean?
Well, what happened? Why is everything in such a downturn?
I mean,
what's in an upturn? Tell me that. What if you go to last November, what has gotten better this year than last year?
Illegal immigration.
Okay. What else you got?
I think that's it. I honestly
one thing.
I think that's it.
So, unemployment's up.
Our friends don't like us anymore.
I mean, I don't know. I what is better? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, when I was at the grocery store last couple times, it don't seem like they're carrying many turkeys. Have you noticed that at your Kroger's?
I've seen people buying some turkeys. I don't know.
I mean, but there used to be several different brands. Butterball and Kroger's used to have their own brand. You know, and a lot of times, you know, during turkey season, Thanksgiving, you know, they don't have as much chicken display and stuff. But I just, when I was in the grocery store, that was just wondering to me that there wasn't a big selection and as many turkeys out. I don't know.
Well, we've got 20 days. Thanksgiving's still 20 days away.
Yeah, but I just don't know if anybody else noticed it or not. Maybe they'll get more turkeys in the next 20 days and stuff. But
so how do you feel about the government compromise?
Well, I guess a compromise might be the only thing, but even if they compromise with 75%, you know, it's still going to make the health insurance go up for people.
Why do you think during the government shutdown the Democrats did so well the other night in that election?
Because they see that the Democrats have a valid point and are fighting for people.
Yeah, but if people are blaming the Congress and the Senate equally, Republican and Democrat, on this issue, why didn't the Republicans turn out in record numbers the other night? Why didn't they show up and win races in Detroit and win races in Virginia and New Jersey and places? I mean, there was a Republican mayor in New York. Biggest vote turnout since 1969.
Yeah,
for Mondami.
I think people are just seeing that it's the Republicans dragging their feet on everything, even though he's been ordered to fund the SNAP program. It don't act like that's going to happen for a while. I think him tearing down the White House is a big thing. You know, that not all Republicans are going for every cotton-picking thing that Trump's trying to do. And I don't, does he want, 100 years from now, what are people going to be saying about him as a president? Or even 10 years from now? I mean,
well, we'll find out.
He's just done a lot of things that even, they say that this is blue states, and they expected, you know, all this, you know, the Democrats getting elected. Well, I think the red states are going to be affecting people, too.
Well, I think you should look at the voter turnout, because one of the problems Democrats have had in presidential elections is people just staying at home.
Yeah.
The record voter turnout, that's going to mean something.
Well, they're dissatisfied. And
well,
I think there's a lot of people dissatisfied that are Republicans, and when Republicans do have, you know, things coming up, I think they might be in for a little bit of awakening.
We'll see. Thank you.
Yep.
What do you mean? Why record numbers met on Tuesday for Democrats?
Well, I mean, they're rather unhappy. I mean, Donald Trump is probably, I mean, you know, he's, like, thrown his weight around and, you know, done a lot of things people were not fond of, so.
Yeah, but if the blame is on the Democrats and the government shut down and they were at that point lapsing into the biggest, longest government shutdown in the history, why would people turn out in record numbers to vote for the Democrats?
Who said that the people are blaming the Democrats?
I think we heard that earlier.
I mean, I think it's something like, I don't know. They took a poll. I don't remember the poll numbers. But, I mean,
52% blame the Republicans is what I heard as of yesterday.
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, but there's also, it's not the majority by any, it's something like, I don't know, 10% or something. But, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't blame either of them, blame them both equally. So, like,
well, this for you, Matt. You can answer this when we come back after break. Did that boy with you actually say the good thing that good things have happened with immigration? It's all about discrimination, not illegals. How is that what the ICE agents are doing? That is what the ICE agents are doing to people. All right, well, the boy can speak to it after this break. Don't go anywhere.
First interview.
Well, because you've been very kind, very fair. You don't jump.